This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Next year, big election year for Michigan. We thought we'd check in with party leaders to see what each party's priorities are. And we start with the chair of the Michigan Democratic Party, Brandon Dillon. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Lester.
All right, so I'm going to start with a frank assessment. Democrats are the minority party in the Michigan House, the minority party in the Michigan Senate. There are far fewer Democrats holding congressional seats. Both U.S. senators are Democrats, but one of them faces a challenge next year. The governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, the secretary of state, all Republicans. So how do you develop a solid bench of Democratic candidates when most of them don't have much experience beyond being in the minority party?
Well, I don't necessarily think being in the minority party is a detriment to running for another office. What I will say is this. I think, obviously, we have had a tough 8 years here in Michigan, going back to 2010 and the census, which gave us the current maps for redistricting, which in Congress and in the legislature made it very difficult for Democrats to compete on an even playing field. But given that, we see 2018 as a really good opportunity to turn that tide, particularly with the governor's office, as well as the other statewide offices, and to make gains in both houses of the legislature. You know, we think this is shaping up to be not only a referendum on Republican control for the last 8 years, but what's going on in Washington. I can tell you, candidate recruitment has not been an issue for us. We have candidates from all walks of life, all around the state. We're doing a lot of organizing at the state level to put people on the ground early, to start talking to voters and making sure that we're talking about the right issues. But, you know, Michigan's a competitive state, and we think we're in a good position to have a good year, provided we do the work we need to do.
You alluded to the district's reapportionment from 2010 census. You know, a lot of people consider it gerrymandered districts. One of the potential ballot initiatives is covering that issue. Does the Democratic Party have a position on that particular proposal?
No, we don't as a party. I know that there's a lot of Democratic activists who are out working on the proposal, but as a party, we won't take a position on any ballot initiatives until next year. At our last convention, we did take a position on the issue of gerrymandering and came out strongly in support of moving to a nonpartisan independent redistricting commission to take the way that districts are drawn out of the hands of politicians and put it back in the hands of the people who will be voting for those politicians. So in general, we support it.
Unofficially, will Democrats be supporting it? That's, I guess, what I'm getting to.
I just, as a party, as a formal party, I don't know. I assume there will be a lot of Democrats and Republicans who are frustrated with the current system who will support that ballot initiative. But we want to see what happens with the signature phase and make sure that it gets it on the ballot. And then we'll take a look at it.
So other than the U.S. senators, Democrats, for the most part, haven't been able to hold statewide office for a while. And that means there's not a lot of name recognition for some of the candidates. How do you deal with that challenge?
Well, a couple things. I don't think that that's the biggest issue. The campaign on the Democratic side will be well-funded with a very strong candidate for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and the other statewide offices going all the way down to university boards. But, you know, people are looking for a shakeup in the status quo. And, you know, you have somebody on the other side in Bill Schuette, who is the embodiment of the status quo, somebody who's jumped around from office to office on his never-ending search to be governor of the state of Michigan. And I think whoever we nominate is going to be a stark contrast to the career politician and somebody who has essentially made his living off the taxpayers for the last 35 years.
You say the Democrats are well-funded. Who are your biggest donors, generally speaking?
As a party, we have benefited greatly in the last year from an explosion, really, of grassroots fundraising. To put it in perspective, we hired 6 new organizers this year, which is really a departure from what we've done in the past, where we usually kind of pull back a little bit in the off year. We've doubled down on putting people on the ground, and all the money we've raised for that has been through grassroots, small donations, with people who want to see the Democratic Party getting closer to our local communities. But our candidates are going to be well-funded, whether it's governor, attorney general, secretary of state. Obviously, they're not going to be able to compete with the kind of money that Republicans and the DeVos family will be able to flood into the system. But I have no doubt we'll be able to get our message out, and our candidate will not suffer from name ID when it comes time to vote next year.
Recently, a new law made it easier for candidates to raise unlimited amounts of cash, not just cash, but dark money, by soliciting donors to give to a friendly super PAC. What's that going to mean for Democrats?
Well, look, I'll be very honest. It's going to put us at a disadvantage. We don't have the kind of donors that have historically unlimited pocketbooks. I can't call up Betsy DeVos and ask her to get her entire family to max out to my candidate committee and then also give unlimited money to my super PAC. I don't have people as a Democrat that have those kinds of dollars. But what we do have is a lot more small dollar contributors and people who are willing to go out and do the work on the ground. But I think it's going to make the system much more unaccountable. It's going to be difficult for voters to discern who's paying and supporting candidates. And it's why I think every Democrat in the legislature opposed this. And if you ask voters on the street what they think is the most important issue facing the state, the lack of dark money in the system is probably not at the top of their list.
There's a lot of concern about state government and what it's done recently. What kind of effect do you think the Flint water crisis might have on the elections next year?
Obviously, I think that is a prime example of what you get when you elect people who put profits over people, who believe that the success of government can only be defined by looking at a balance sheet and not at the quality of life of the people you're sworn to represent. The water crisis in Flint is an indictment of a Republican style of government that believes that the people should not have a voice in the decisions that go on in their local communities. I think it's emblematic of the kind of corporate style that Governor Snyder has brought to the office and would be perpetuated and I think exacerbated under a Governor Schutte.
You've mentioned Schutte a few times now. He's not the only Republican running for governor. Are you assuming that he's going to be the GOP candidate?
Well, I think given his shameless pandering to people like Donald Trump and the DeVos family, he's got an inside track to get that nomination.
President Donald Trump has changed the entire political landscape with his brand of politics. What effect does that have on the strategy of Democrats?
Well, you're right. It has upended, I think, traditional notions of what voters care about, what motivates them. But what we've done at the party and what our elected officials, I think, have done very well since the last election is understand that people don't look at the success of their state or their country purely on how Wall Street is doing or what the unemployment rate is. You have to look at things a little bit deeper. And the anxiety that people fear about their jobs not paying as much as maybe their parents or having to work extra just to keep up with rising healthcare costs is a message that we need to communicate much more effectively. There's a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump, who voted for Democrats on other parts of the ticket, and in fact, voted for Barack Obama. So, you know, we're looking at voters and trying to let them know that what they got from Donald Trump was, it was just not real, and it was all phony. And if you want to really tackle these issues, that there are Democratic candidates out there willing to roll up their sleeves and actually get to work.
How has the Trump presidency affected Democratic voters as far as their activism is concerned?
Well, it's been an explosion in activism. We saw this right after the election. You know, people, I think, were shocked and dismayed that Donald Trump not only won the presidency, but was able to win a state like Michigan. And people have, instead of retrenching and retreating, they've come out and they're joining organizations like Indivisibles and Forward Action Michigan, as well as getting active in their state, local, and county parties. So we have seen a lot of people get involved who have never been involved before. People who were involved are getting involved more. Our job is to make sure that we sustain that, and that's really what we've been focusing on through this entire year, is keeping those folks active and giving them meaningful things to help change the political climate in Michigan.
Not just in Michigan, but nationwide, you have a difficult time getting Democrats to the polls and off your elections. How are you dealing with that?
Well, I think there's definitely a problem that we've had in the last few cycles with getting those voters that come out in presidential years to then understand that the importance of our statewide elections in the off year. I do think some of that gets mitigated by the fact that you have a president in power of the opposite party that tends to motivate voters of the party out of power more even in off years. But we're going to be aggressively organizing, but also making sure that our message is something that appeals to people. You know, we can't always count on a charismatic candidate like Barack Obama to be at the top of the ticket. But we do have really solid candidates, and I think having a message that speaks to their real concerns and is unabashedly progressive but also practical is going to be something that will motivate voters to come out.
So as party chair, I'm wondering, what is the biggest challenge you're wrestling with?
Well, you know, there's a lot of challenges on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, you know, we're trying to ensure that we have the resources to compete with Republicans and making sure that people understand that it's important to invest in the party and in our candidates to make sure that they can get their message out. But I will tell you, one of the good problems we have is just the number of candidates that are looking to run. In many years, candidate recruitment has been an issue. As I said at the beginning of the interview, that is not the issue this year. Whether it's governor, attorney general, state house, or Congress, we have people who are eager to run, who have great qualifications, and I think have been inspired by what they've seen happen in this state the last 8 years and want to do something about it.
Brandon Dillon is the chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Lester.
We've requested an interview with the chair of the Michigan Republican Party. We'll bring you that as soon as it can be arranged.